Greetings, friends, and welcome to part 16 in our series of studies on the three P's of our profession. The first P of our profession is preaching, and that is preaching the gospel. And in our last several programs, we've been going over the seven different phrases that are used in connection with the gospel. And now we're on our seventh and final one, which is the gospel of blessings. So what is the gospel of blessings? Well, first of all, let me tell you what it's not. It is not the health and wealth gospel. It is not the name it and claim it gospel. And it is not, as I heard recently, the blab it and grab it gospel. It is none of those. It is not talking about prosperity. Now, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to look at the example of Abraham, as these false teachers do. They go back to the story of Abraham, and they pull out old covenant promises that God made to Abraham and apply that to you and I today who are living under the new covenant. But I'm not going to do that, because that's preaching a false gospel. The old covenant blessings were for the nation of Israel. They are not for the church. The new covenant blessings are for the church, whereas those were not for the nation of Israel. So we can't get the two mixed up. So what is the gospel of blessings? I'm going to tell you from the new covenant perspective the truth about the gospel of blessings. So let's turn over to Galatians, the third chapter, and we'll read verses 8 through 29. This is Galatians, the third chapter, and verses 8 through 29. Now you're going to see three things as we go through these scriptures here concerning blessings. The first blessing that God gives to Abraham, which is wrapped up in the new covenant, is forgiveness of sins. And when we have forgiveness of sins, that means we don't have to experience eternal death. Sin is the transgression of God's laws. When we break one of God's laws, it breaks us. It breaks us down, and we have to die. If we do not repent of that, we remain in our sins. Now, the wages of sin, what we earn as a result of sinning, is death. And if we do not repent of our sins, we remain under the death penalty. And eventually, not only will we die the first death, where this physical body is destroyed, but we will also die the second death, where our soul, our spirit, is destroyed. That is the second death. That's death in the lake of fire. Now, of course, you don't want that, so you need to pay attention to God's blessing and understand that you have that now. If you have repented of your sins, God is faithful, and He has provided a sacrifice for your sins, and that sacrifice comes through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for our sins. Now, that's the first blessing, is that we have been given forgiveness of sins, which means we don't have to experience eternal death. Then the second thing you're going to see is that God has given us the Holy Spirit, which means we now have God's divine nature. Prior to our baptism, which is our outward demonstration of our inward commitment to God after we have repented of our sins and accepted Christ's sacrifice by faith, after we're baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we are no longer carnal minded. That's not our human nature anymore. That's not our natural way of living, where we live in hostility to God's law. Now, because we have been given the Holy Spirit, which means we have Christ living in us, we are developing God's divine nature, and God's natural way of living is to follow His laws. Again, sin is the transgression of the law, so that means righteousness, which is the opposite of sin, is keeping God's law. And Christ is the only one who kept God's law perfectly in the letter and spirit, having never sinned. So Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, lives in us to create in us God's divine nature, where now we can say with David, who was a man after God's own heart, "Oh God, how I love thy law. It is ever with me." All right, that's what we want to be saying. Now, the third blessing under the new covenant is that God has given us eternal life. If we have forgiveness of sins, if we have God's Spirit dwelling in us to create His divine nature, where we think and act and feel like God does, we respond to the same things in the same way that God does. If we have that nature, this is our way of life, then God says He will give us eternal life so that we can live this way of love toward God and love toward our neighbors, loving God's law. And by the way, love toward God and love toward our neighbors is the full expression of God's law. God said the two great commandments in the law are to love God with all of our hearts, might, and soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so if we accept God's forgiveness of sins, if we accept God's gift of the Holy Spirit, meaning we have His divine nature, where we love this way of life and live this way of life, of love forever, then God says He will give us eternal life. So those are the three blessings under the new covenant: forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the gift of eternal life. We can't earn it. It all comes through Jesus Christ, and we have to accept it by faith. So let's see this as brought out in Galatians, the third chapter, in verses 8 through 29, because this is the true gospel of blessings, not the false gospel of health and wealth, or name it and claim it, or as I like to say, the blab it and grab it gospel, where it's really just all about you, and it's all about being healthy and wealthy. That is a false gospel. Here is the truth about the gospel of blessings. It says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations through faith, preached the gospel before to Abraham." This is the good news that He preached to Abraham. Now, what did He say to Abraham? He said to Abraham, "In your seed shall all nations be blessed." Now, what is the definition of "in your seed shall all nations be blessed"? Well, we'll get to that shortly. And what does the term "blessed" mean? We'll also see that. Let's go on. It says, "So then, those who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." So we're blessed in the same way that Abraham was blessed, but not the old covenant blessings. This is the new covenant blessing. Let's go on to prove that. "For as many as are out of the works of the law, these are under a curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.'" Why is that? Because if a person wants their righteousness to arise from their own works, which are patterned after the keeping of the law, then God says in order for you to be blessed in that way, you have to do everything that's contained in that law. But no one can keep the law perfectly, so none of us should look for our righteousness from the keeping of the law. God has to give us righteousness, which we must accept by faith. And then, as we have God living in us through the power of the Holy Spirit to create His divine nature in us, then we start to keep God's law, not for righteousness' sake, but because we love God and we love our neighbors as ourselves, because God has already counted us as righteous, which means 100% perfection in keeping the law, never sinning. Now let's continue on. "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is clear. It says, 'To the contrary, the just have to live by faith.' But the law, keeping the law, that's not about faith. That's about our own works. 'The man who does these things shall live in them.'" Now, notice this first new covenant blessing here. It says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law." And the curse of the law is not the law itself. The curse of the law is death, because the wages of sin is death, and death is the curse. That's the last curse that's going to be removed from the earth. God is reversing the curse of death by giving us life. And the first step in that is redeeming us from the curse of the law through Jesus Christ, because He was the only one that lived perfectly. He never sinned. So when He died, especially because of the fact that He was God and all things was created through Him by God the Father, meaning that His life was worth more than all other lives combined, so that when He died, His life was able to pay for all of our sins and to cover all of us. So he was made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who's been hanged on the tree. And that's what happened to Christ, is he was made a curse for us in that he died for us, showing again that that was the curse. And he died because he was hung on the cross. Now, continuing on, it says, he did this so that the blessing of Abraham might be to the nations in Jesus Christ, which means the Gentiles and the Jews, and that we might receive, this is the second blessing, and that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Continue on, and now we'll see the third one. Brothers, I speak according to man, a covenant, showing that this does have to do with the covenants, a covenant having been ratified even among mankind, no one sets aside or adds to it. And to Abraham and to his seed were the promises spoken. It does not say, and to seeds as of many or in plurality, but as of one, and to your seed, and this is the definition, and to your seed, which is Christ. It is so beautiful when people let the Bible explain itself. So when God preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, we see that the seed is Jesus Christ. So it's through Jesus Christ that all nations will be blessed. And we've seen two of the three blessings already. The first one, that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, which means that he has forgiven us of our sins and we do not now have to die. And secondarily, we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, which means that God can write his laws on our heart and on our minds, on the two tables, if you will, of our heart and mind, our thoughts and our emotions, as opposed to under the old covenant, where it's written on two tables of stone, symbolizing that it was external and symbolizing that it couldn't penetrate into the inward parts of a person because it was written on stone. And that stone, of course, was external to our bodies. And now dropping down to verse 21, it says, for if there was a law that could have given eternal life, then righteousness would have been from the law. And this is the third blessing. It says here, if there had been a law which was given that could have given eternal life, then righteousness would have been by the law. In other words, a person would do righteousness and then they would earn eternal life. But as I said, since we all sin, we earn death and not eternal life. So then God has provided a different way to eternal life. And it says, but the scriptures shut up all under sin, so that the promise of eternal life by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So that is the third blessing, is that we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ if we believe that he was the first one resurrected from the dead to eternal life, and that we shall follow in his footsteps. And then concluding in verse 29, it says, so if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises. And the promises again are forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the gift of eternal life. That, my friends, is the true gospel of blessings.